working east from there. Going to a very large church, he started taking photographs, and he looked across, and he saw a golden phone. He was really curious about that phone. So he went to the pastor, and he said, well, what's this phone for? And the pastor said, the phone had a sign on it that said $10,000 a minute. The pastor said, well, this is a line directly to heaven. You can talk directly to God. He went around to some other churches, and he spotted the same thing, this golden phone. I don't know if we have one here, but they had them there. And then he finally got to one in Montana. It was a church on the shores of Lake Mary Ronan, and he saw the golden sign, the golden phone, but this time there was a sign on it that said, calls 35 cents. Fascinated, he asked to talk to the pastor. Reverend, he said, I visited churches in cities all around the country, and it's been $10,000 a minute. What's the difference? And the pastor said to him, son, you're in Montana now, God's country. From here, it's a local call. Now, if that golden phone were in our town, how many people do you think would want to use it? Atheists would want to use it. Everybody would want to use it. Why? Because we need help. We as human beings have so many practical needs. We're the top creatures on the planet, but for all that, we're very fragile. Remember the tornado that went right over our house in Nayplate a few years ago? And we're high maintenance. We need clothing and food and shelter and emotional, social, and spiritual needs. So it's not surprising that if there was a golden phone, we'd all be fighting over who got to use it to talk directly to God. We need all the help we can get. And God is the ultimate resource. Scripture makes it clear that God is the source of all human existence and maintenance. Nehemiah 9:6, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Hebrews 1:3 adds, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. I love this phrase, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Down from the smallest quark up to the whole universe. You think about it, Jesus did that. It's natural for humans to gravitate toward God. Yet one of the things I've been learning more and more as I grow is that there are a lot of reasons to pick up that phone and call God. There are a lot of things to ask for. And I want to unpack that by asking the question, why do I desire to connect with God? What would I say on that golden phone? Well, I want to start out with, you have handouts, by the way, so you don't have to try to follow. I want to start out with a sub-level, and that is, I don't desire to connect with God. There are people out there that are just don't care about God. They don't care about connecting with God. They think he's stupid. They think he's not there. But what's really ironic is they're using all his benefits anyway. They're just not talking to him. I want to talk today, though, about three main levels that you and I can choose to connect God to God with, and they're all legitimate. None of them are bad, but some of them are more important than others. Level number one, I desire to connect with God primarily for practical reasons. Now, this is legit. Jesus told his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And if you go to Matthew chapter 6, he said, don't worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you shall wear. And God's going to take care of all those things. Seek first his kingdom. In fact, if I am not relying on God to pay my bills, to maintain my health, to do the things that I have to do in my life, there's something wrong. If I say, God, I can handle that myself. The problem with this level rests in the word primarily. I desire to connect with God primarily for practical reasons. The person described here is mainly describing or reaching out to God to get his stuff. They want to be sure they have everything they need to get by in life. So that's why they focus on their relationship with God. God, I need money. God, I need help on my test. God, please make my child get well. God, protect us on this journey. In other words, God, make my life safe and good. Now, we all want those things, don't we? They're legitimate things to ask for. And I suspect that most people, even people that don't claim to be Christians, relate to God in this way. When they're in a pinch, they say, God, I need this, I need that. Please help me. What's the problem when this is the primary reason we pick up the phone? First of all, it's insulting to God. I've had parents say to me, you know, the only time my grown-up child ever calls me, you could fill in the blank, right? Is when they need something. And all of a sudden, they're on the phone. Now, to treat God primarily as the supply guy, as that great vending machine in the heavens, is to insult him. He's God Almighty. He's worthy of worship. He's our Heavenly Father. He's worthy of our love. He's not just an open wallet in the sky. It's insulting to God to just talk to him when we need something practical. It also shows a lack of vision. I want you to imagine a child's party. You've got maybe a 3 or 4 year old, 5 year old comes into the room, and there's a table full of things that they can choose from for their birthday gift. And there's all kinds of toys, and there's also a slip of paper in one corner of the table. Which do you think they're going to choose? They choose the toys, aren't they? What the child doesn't know or understand, and what I didn't tell you, is that the slip of paper is $1 million legitimate check, which can buy a lot of Happy Meals. You can buy a whole Toys R Us section. Now, when we connect primarily with God to get his stuff, we've made the same choice, haven't we? We've reached for the toy. We have not reached for the valuable thing that's on the table. What's truly valuable? Let me put it this way. People that are stuck on the first level are primarily concerned about this earthly life and what allows them to survive at the moment. Getting by. Remember Jesus said in Matthew, the pagans run after all these things. But what's truly valuable is not about right now. It's eternal. What we use in this life and beyond. And that leads to our next level. Level number 2, I desire to connect with God primarily to advance my own spiritual growth. This is a quantum leap forward from the first level. These folks understand that who we are is much more valuable than what we have. That a godly person living in squalor is worth more than a billionaire who's godless. They get it. The New Testament is full of descriptions about how God wants to transform us from who we were to who he's making us to be. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to what? The likeness of his son. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Do you understand the richness of these promises? There's simply no comparison between getting a job promotion and becoming like Jesus. The first is convenient, but the second is priceless. And the first without the second doesn't amount to much anyway. If it does, if you think it does, after church, take a stroll in the cemetery. Look at all those who got job promotions and what good it's doing them now. The hymn says, my desire to be like Jesus, my desire to be like him. That's what this captures, doesn't it? When you get a picture of that, a lot of the morsels of this world lose their flavor. You know what I mean? A lot of you have entered into this. You've begun to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That old temper is slowly losing its power. It's replaced by patience. That selfish focus starts to fade and you start thinking about other people. Your rebellious spirit loses its hold and you start to submit. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You can feel your spirit just lightening and drawing toward God. Have you learned to savor spiritual transformation in your life? You were made to be like Jesus. And this is a good thing to ask God for. If you're at this stage, you've come a long way spiritually. You've got holy ambition. You are reaching for the $1 million check. But if we stop at this level, and some spend a whole lifetime here, striving to become more like Jesus, it can create some problems. What are some of the problems that it can create? First of all, I will get too focused on myself. If my main goal is to grow, then naturally I'm going to be thinking about me and my performance and how good of a Christian was I today, and oh, I could have done better, and I'm going to try harder tomorrow. And it's good to remain sensitive to our spiritual state, but this can be overdone. It's not all about you. Not all about your spiritual growth. We are part of a bigger picture, a bigger group that's meant to point to a bigger God. So I can get too focused on myself if it's spiritual achievement that I want to see happen in my life. Also, I will stall out in my spiritual growth. Now, that's ironic, isn't it? Because I want to grow spiritually and I'm stalling out. But if I focus too much on myself, I will grind to a halt. Why? Well, we'll see in a moment that our spiritual development is for a higher purpose than just self-actualization, than just improving, than just feeling better about myself. To keep growing, my focus needs to be gradually shifting away from myself toward God. I want to point to an even higher level this morning. It's one that God has been speaking to me more and more about as the years go by. And I grew up in a Christian church. I went to Moody Bible Institute. I went to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, Wheaton, and some other, you know. And so I'm steeped in the Bible knowledge and the growing and so on. And I'm very ambitious anyway in some ways personally. But a while back, it almost seemed like the Spirit said to me, Tim, why are you doing all this? Is your spiritual growth mainly for the purpose of your spiritual achievement? So you can just kind of look at yourself and go, yeah, I'm in the big leagues now. I've gotten there. Why am I transforming you anyway? With God's patient tutoring, I've come to see that my own spiritual development isn't the highest purpose for life. As good as it is to grow personally, as important as it is, there's a path leading upward to an even richer level. Level 3, I desire to connect with God primarily to know Him. A while back I mentioned I memorized John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer. And a phrase out of that struck me. Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's it. This is eternal life. It's streets of gold. This is eternal life. It's angels. No, that they may know you. Anywhere God is heaven, right? We don't need streets of gold and gates of pearl and everything else. Knowing God is eternal life. The essence of eternal life is defined by Jesus as relationship. The Apostle Paul plays the same note in Philippians 3, 7, and 8. But whatever was my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Now, I want you to understand something here. Knowing is not the same as knowing about. Knowing means intimate, deep love connection with God. It means connecting at the deepest possible level, which is amazing, first of all, isn't it? This transcendent, infinite being wants to connect with you deeper than you connect with your husband or wife if you're married, or your best friends. We weren't created simply to be servants. We weren't created simply to be his craft project. We were created to be family. And even more astounding, we were created to be his bride. Can you imagine any deeper connection than that? The two shall become one. This is one reason Jesus came to earth, by the way. We just finished talking about his resurrection and Lent and everything. He wanted us to see God. He wanted us to touch God, to hear God, to be connected with a God that was like us in every way except without sin. The disciples benefited from the first reason, from Christ's physical help. He fed them with fish and loaves, right? They benefited, secondly, from the moral change that occurred in their life as they hung around with Jesus and were taught. But they connected with him on the third level in relationship, because they loved him like they loved nobody else. And this love would continue after his physical body was gone. This love would carry them 20, 30, 40 years down the road until they were executed or dead. Why? Because this is what everything is meant to funnel into. My friends, everything is meant to draw us into God's presence. Not just so we can be better people, not so we can get stuff, but it's all meant to make us into his heart, where we can feel him and hear him and love him and feel his adoration and give him adoration back, where we can love him like we've never loved anyone before. Everything God does is meant to draw you and I into the closest personal relationship we have with any being in the universe, and the richest and the best by far. Now, why is this important to know? Well, first of all, it shifts the focus off of myself to God. You ever had trouble circling the planet me? I have trouble with it all the time. Tim, how are you doing? Tim this, Tim that, Tim that. God wants to shift the focus away from me to him. Read the book of Revelation 4 and 5 in the throne room. We heard about the four living creatures this morning. I love that. Who is the focus on in chapter 4 and 5 in Revelation? Is it on Paul? Is it on Moses? Is it on David? Is it on Mary? You are worthy. It's all about him. And these people just, the beings that are there just fall down. They cast their crowns, the elders do later. And they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." And we listen to this and we think, Monday night football sounds more interesting, you know, or something we can see and touch. You know, a lot of people, especially non-Christians, think that heaven sounds boring. But can you imagine 1 minute in the full, unfiltered presence of God? Can you imagine him flowing in you and through you in the joy and the love and the peace and the beauty? If you're ever in love with anybody, imagine being in love with him 1,000 times that much. You just can't rip your eyes off of him. We need the focus turned away from ourselves toward God. And the world doesn't understand that. They think God is kind of a background figure. Do I still care about me? Of course I do. But my main focus is turned toward God. If I'm on level 3 and I desire to connect primarily with God, it also opens the door to a whole new level of spiritual advancement. Now, I've often wished that God would have changed me. 40 years ago, if I could have pressed the button, I would have. Probably some of you agree, right? Perfect Christian, perfect follower of Jesus. It's all done. And it's happened slowly. And it's happened sometimes painfully. But can you imagine what would happen if we changed too fast? What it could do to our psyche? Well, I guess I'm not like the rest of you. Maybe you'll catch up with me someday. You know, the closer we get to God, the more humbled we are, the less proud we are about our own advancement, because what I'm seeing as I grow as a Christian is the bar keeps raising. You know, I thought it was pretty good compared to that guy in the seat next to me before. But when you see how good he is, there's no room for pride. It's just joy that he would even have me. He is everything. Without him, we are nothing. It's also important because it points others away from me toward God. Jesus makes an interesting statement in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may praise you. Isn't that what it says? Somebody correct me. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's right. They're going to see your good works and they're going to look past them. They're going to see God. This is how it's meant to work. Our good deeds are done to point away from us to God. He's the one that gets the glory. And when you and I are consumed with knowing him, we will naturally point in his direction. Why is that important? Well, can you save anyone? Can you transform anyone? Will worship of us do any good? It's God alone who's meant to be the center of every heart. And lastly, it helps me to focus my time and my priorities in the wisest possible way. Now, as you went through your week, did you feel busy? You feel like there were more things to do than you could possibly do? Welcome to the modern world, especially in the United States. It's easy to be scattered, easy to run here and there putting out fires. But people that are frantically running around, trying to do this, trying to do that, I have to do this, I have to do that, sometimes forget what's most important. A lot of those things that seem so desperately important in the moment will not matter a month from now, and certainly will not matter 100 years from now. What will matter when we stand before God is what we did with him. Did we know him? Really know him? And folks, by the way, there is a difference between being a good kind of godly Christian and somebody who is filled with the presence of God. It's one of the things I hope to bring to the hospital where I work now. Is not just to be a good, friendly worker, but the whole ambience of the Spirit of God just loving on the people around me, living through me. That can only happen if you are in the presence of God. It can't happen just because you have good theology. It can't happen just because you obey all the right things. We have to be in his presence and let it rub off on us and let it transform us. Other things matter, but knowing God matters far more. How important is it to you to know God? To know him better than your best friend. The degree to which you hunger to know God. And by the way, the psalmist in Psalm 63 says, my soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. How hungry are you for God? Level one, I need his stuff. We do need his stuff. Level two, I want to be a better person. We do need to be a better person. Level three, I want him. All the rest of that will come when I have him. It's not easy to get to level three. I'm not claiming this morning that I'm at level three all the time or most of the time. It's not easy to stay there. Society pulls at us all the time, telling us to live in the real world. Things you can see and touch and handle and manipulate. And not in some imaginary, fluffy, heavenly world. Our inner needs often pull us away from God, our fears and our woundedness. I'll have the band come up as I finish here. I have no magical formula for helping you to want God more than anything else. Dallas Willard said, our job is to reach toward God, and his job is to bring himself to us. All I'm counseling you this morning is to say, God, help me to want you more than I want anything else. And then spend the time regularly just adoring him, just being in his presence. Fill your mind with scripture that lifts him up. And just say, Lord, I want you first above all things. And slowly you will find that your heart is transformed. And the heart of the church is pulled in that direction. In fact, I want you to stand with me, if you would. And I want you to pray, if you want to, out loud or silently, repeat what I'm saying. This is a prayer for God to bring us to level 3. So in your heart, out loud, or whatever you feel like doing, dear God, I long for you. I want to know you deeply. I want to know you better than I know anyone else. I want your spirit, and I want your heart to fill me this morning. I want you to be the greatest delight that I have in my life. I want you to be my hope. I want you to be my future. I want you to be my present. Take me, Lord, and bring me into your presence. In the power of this Holy Spirit, amen.